So this is becoming a bit of a tradition here at New Life. Christmas Eve, usually it's in the evening of Christmas Eve. This year we have the joy of having Christmas Eve fall on a Sunday, which is wonderful. This morning we are going to read through the harmonious chronology of the Christmas story. So I encourage you this morning to sit and relax and enjoy the telling of the tale that comes from the gospel itself about our Savior Jesus Christ coming and making a way for us to have eternal life. Before the time we live in now, and far before the time we've existed in, this modern time with all of its trappings and amenities, God existed. He created his people and the beauty of creation that's all around us. He designed and created, and he called it good. He loved his people. They were his and he was theirs. But throughout time, over the course of thousands of years, God knew he would have to give a gift to his people, a gift that would overshadow any gift before or since. This gift would be spoken of, dreamt about, and prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this gift that God had for his people came at a time when the world was broken and yearning for salvation from all the trouble that had befallen it. You see, God's people were yet again far from him. They built lives that were separate from their heavenly Father and had forgotten their need for him. And in this distance, God's people knew they needed help. But that help would come in the form of something that was different than what the people thought that it should be. The gift of salvation was to arrive under circumstances that no one could possibly fathom. Under the rule of a brutal Roman regime, on the tail of 400 years of silence between God and his prophets, all of eternity was in motion to bring forth the beauty of this gift. A gift that the world needed. A gift that this world today needs. A gift of life and transformation that would change hearts and minds until time itself ceased. That gift brings us to our story this morning. Listen carefully, let your hearts be open, and give thanks to our Heavenly Father. Shall we begin? Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God, and his name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but rather born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' And from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to a priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron, and both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in their years. And once Zechariah's priestly division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by the drawing of strings, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when it was time for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right hand of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled, and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. And he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will not be great in the sight of the Lord. He will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and to make ready a people that are prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man, and my wife is along in her years." And the angel answered to him, "I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day that this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. And when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "And in these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst the people." In the sixth month, God sent angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to the town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm only a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greetings, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child in you that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed in what the Lord has said to her that will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble ones. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown great mercy to her, and they all shared in her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah, but his mother spoke up and said, "No, he's to be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one amongst your relatives who has that name." And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like the name to be. He asked for a writing tablet, and everyone's astonishment, he wrote his name should be John. And immediately, Zechariah's mouth opened, and his tongue was loosened, and he began to speak, and he was praising God. And the neighbors were all filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all the things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him from the beginning." His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and suddenly began to prophesy, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and he has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him in all of our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High God. For you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way before him to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercies of our Lord, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly in Israel. And this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had a good mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And all of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, which was, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." Isaiah 7:14, which means God is with us. When Joseph, who woke up, did what the angel of the Lord had commanded to him and took Mary home as his wife, he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile of Babylon, and 14 from the exile to the Christ. The lineage of the Christ is recorded in the Holy Scriptures for all to see and to behold. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken from the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that had taken place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee in Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, which was a son. And she wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you, and you will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary, she treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, who was named Jesus, the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived, and that time of purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. As he was moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the customs of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And there was also a prophetess, Anna, and the daughter of Phanuel, and from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old, and she had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped day and night, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, the Magi came from the east and came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard of this, he became disturbed, and all Jerusalem was disturbed along with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "Well, in Bethlehem and in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judea, for out of you will become a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for this child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and began to worship him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by a different route. And when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for and kill the child." So he got up and he took the child and his mother during the night, and they left under the cover of dark for Egypt, where they stayed until the death of Herod. And also was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son," Hosea 11. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he became furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. And then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah had been fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more, Jeremiah 31. After Herod had died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." And so he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so it was fulfilled which was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, and he was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We are, as Christ was, in interesting times. We live in trying times, but also times that cause us to reflect and to wonder when we may see Jesus again. Today, as we anticipate tomorrow and celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, let us give thanks. And let us give thanks to the Lord for his gift of life, for the gift of life that is for us, that comes through Jesus, his Son. A gift that is still for us today, a beautiful gift that will also arrive again in glory. Let us collectively hope for and wait for that glorious day together, and remember the promises that are in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I urge you this morning to not neglect why we gather and to not forget the real meaning behind the season. As we reflect upon the challenges that we face moment by moment and day by day, whether they are global challenges, or local challenges, or intimate struggles that we face in our homes, families, or personal lives, we can't forget that God has made a way for us to have hope through his Son, Jesus. The greatest gift that we can receive this season is to accept Jesus as the one who truly is our Savior. I urge you today, as you take time to pause and reflect, I urge you today to accept Jesus as the one who is your hope, who is the truth, who is your salvation, and who is your Lord. So, church, this morning, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. From all of us here at New Life this morning, We wish you a Merry Christmas, and we're excited to celebrate stepping into a Happy New Year with you next week. That is it for today. Please enjoy your time together with your friends and family.